In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So our gospel today relates the story of the wedding feast at Cana. This is a continuation of the feast of the Epiphany. It's a continuation of the celebration of Christmas and the Epiphany, the celebration of the coming of Christ into this world and of his manifestation to all men. The church wants us to continue to think about that coming, to think about this gift of God. So this miracle at Cana was the first public miracle of our Lord. And the gospel says he manifested his glory to them, and it is his disciples believed in him. They received the gift of revelation and the gift of faith. We too have received that gift. We too have received, above all, the gift of not just faith, but charity. The gift of being united to God. This gift of revelation, we must remember at baptism. When we put on Christ, we died to the world. We died to sin. We received sanctifying grace. And with sanctifying grace comes the life of God. It is the life of God in our souls. With this grace comes the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Faith will give way to vision. Faith will pass away when we see God for what he really is. Hope will pass away when we possess, finally, what we hope for. But charity remains forever. Charity remains for all of eternity. And God is charity. Charity is just the Greek word for love. Charity is the highest love of all. We rank our loves. We can love food and we can love pleasure. We can love other people. We can love knowledge. But the highest of all loves is this love of God. And we call that love charity. Divine love. There's nothing higher in the world. There's nothing better for our souls. This is the perfection of our souls, this love. This is the gift that the church especially is bringing to our attention today with this gospel. This is the pearl of great price, which is worth more than the whole world. This friendship with God. Charity is friendship with God. And so today, in this gospel, we have that lesson. There are many lessons in this gospel, but above all, this lesson of charity. Let's review just briefly the scene that this gospel sets for us. We have the wedding feast, we have the bride and the groom, the guests, the servants, the master steward, and in the center, our attention is pulled to Mary and to her son, Jesus. And after a time, Mary notices that the servants are in distress because the wine is running out. And she turns to our Lord right away, knowing that he's the only one who can help in this situation. She says simply, "They have no wine." And our Lord replies, "Woman, what is that to me and to you? My hour is not yet come." St. Francis de Sales, commenting on this passage, exclaims, "What a shocking reply from such a good and holy son to such a good and holy mother." Many impious persons use this passage to blaspheme the Mother of God and by extension to blaspheme her son. It's because they do not have faith. We won't go into all of the arguments about this mysterious reply of our Lord, but it suffices for us to gain profit from this lesson to just review what we know by faith, what our faith assures us, and what Holy Tradition teaches us. The Blessed Virgin Mary is absolutely perfect in every way according to the design that God has for her. From the moment of her conception, she was filled with grace. Pure, brilliant, and beautiful in the sight of God. And by a special privilege, she enjoyed the use of her reason. So from that moment on, for the rest of her life, she perfectly corresponded to this gift that she was receiving from God. The gift of grace, the gift of revelation, of faith, hope, and charity. And she used these gifts, gave back love for love. She was perfectly grateful and humble at the same time, seeing how wonderful she was, but also seeing how infinitely better and higher God was. So she remained in her place always, thanking and loving God. And she followed perfectly all of the commandments and all of the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, such that she never committed any sin. She never committed any negligence or any fault whatsoever. Tota pulchra es. We were singing for the Immaculate Conception, the novena. You are all beautiful. She is perfectly beautiful in the sight of God without any blemish. Not only was she filled with all charity, all of her actions, all of her words, and even all of her thoughts were animated by perfect charity, perfect love of God and love of her neighbor, the desire to give to God what he wants and to save her neighbor. So when this perfect virgin mother told her son, "They have no wine," she was acting perfectly. She was acting from perfect charity, enlightened by faith. And she was not at all put off by his reply. She was not surprised. She was humble and confident in going to him, recognizing his majesty and her littleness, but also perfectly confident that he would give her what she asked for. She knew without a doubt that our Lord loved them all and wanted what was good for them. We know the perfection of our mother, and what's more, we know the perfection of our Lord, the Word of God made flesh. Every single act of his human nature has infinite value because this person, Jesus Christ, is God. Every act has infinite value and is infinitely pleasing to the Blessed Trinity. So when he replied, "Woman, what is this to me and to you?" he was acting perfectly. And St. Francis de Sales, again, commenting on this passage, he says, this response from our Lord was a response of love, and only love could comprehend it. And in fact, Mary was the only one who understood fully this response. And she knew he had said yes. So she immediately turns to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." Mary was a perfect intercessor for them, and she's a perfect intercessor for us today. She is truly the Mother of Grace, Mater Divinae Gratiae. All good things which God gives us come through Mary, come through the intercession of Mary. This is God's love for Mary, to give her this privilege. Above all, the gift that we thank and love God for is this gift of charity, the gift of loving him, of being in a relationship with God, a relationship of love. There's nothing better. And this is what Mary intercedes and asks for us today. Wine is a symbol of divine love. They have no wine. This gospel is meant for us and meant for all generations. Mary knew that her intercession on that day was about much more than just saving the bride and the bridegroom from an embarrassing situation, saving their reputation. She knew that what Christ had come for, and she wanted him to manifest himself through them. And she knew that by her prayer, God wanted to advance the time of manifesting himself and giving grace and revelation to men. Now we are supposed to talk about the commandment of charity. The Pharisee came to see our Lord. We read about in the Gospel of St. Mark, "Master, what is the greatest of all the commandments?" And our Lord replied, "This is the first and the greatest of all commandments. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God is the only God. And you will love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole soul, and with your whole strength." And the second is like to it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment that is greater than these. We might ask, why is this the greatest commandment? The answer is that this love of God is our total perfection. It's what we are made for. Our souls are made for God. Our will is made to desire God. And that's what charity is, desiring to do what God wants. There's nothing better in the world. So if we keep that commandment, it is easy to see how we keep the whole law. That's why he said, the whole law depends on these two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. So can we really keep this commandment of loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is this really possible? We have to remember that this is a commandment and not just a suggestion or a counsel. And God does not command impossible things. So he really wants us to fulfill this commandment. And how do we do that? Simply put, you could respond that God wants us to love him as best we can every day, to grow in charity every day, just like the example of our mother, to stop growing in love, to stop growing in charity, is to stop fulfilling the first and the greatest commandment. And we know the law of the spiritual life is if you do not advance, then you go backwards. There's no standing still in the spiritual life. So we are commanded not to be complacent with whatever level of charity we have, whatever level of grace, or how far advanced we are in the spiritual life. There is no limit to divine charity. There's no limit to how much we can love God who is infinitely lovable. The only measure that we can put on charity is to love without measure. It's a favorite saying of St. Francis de Sales. So St. Paul says, let sinners be justified, and let the just be justified more still. And may the charity of Christ abound always more and more in your hearts, so that you can experience that peace of God which exceeds all understanding. So the surest sign we have that we love God is that we love our neighbor. These two commandments are inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. And our Lord said in the Gospel of St. John, the one who keeps my commandments, that is the one who loves me. And this is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. And St. John in his epistle says, if you do not love your brother, whom you do see, then how can you love God whom you do not see? Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. It is a tragedy that Catholics could hate each other. Nothing is so displeasing to our Lord as these sins against charity. We can't go into them all today, all these sins of charity which prevent us from keeping this great commandment. But there's just one I want to make mention of. And that's the sin of detraction, the sin of gossip. This is how the devil begins to destroy communities which are bonded together by faith and love. The sins of the tongue, the uncharitable words, backbiting, idle, useless, dangerous conversations about other people. This is a hateful sin which the devil uses to kill souls. He's killed many souls with just simple uncharitable words. And St. Francis de Sales laments this great evil. And he said, if I could rid the world of the sins of the tongue, then I could rid it of a half of the evil in the world. And Holy Scripture says, by your words you will be vindicated, and by your words you will be condemned. And to help us practice this charity, we have the whole list from St. Paul in his epistle to us. Simply following that list is loving our neighbor. But we also have the example of our mother in today's gospel. The wine ran out and she could have said a lot of things against her host. Like they didn't plan very well. Now I don't have any wine to drink. Or they were drinking so much it serves them right for running out and being embarrassed now. There was none of that in our mother. Only pure love, pure desire for the good of men. They have no wine. Mary continues that prayer for us. Our hearts are so small and mean. Our ideas are so petty and fickle. Our desires. And all that matters is loving God and doing His holy will. All the devil has to do to ruin our lives is to get us to forget that. To be so busy about other things. We could fill our lives with things and at the end it will all be worthless. Mary knows that. She knows our misery and she doesn't hate us for it. She doesn't go around gossiping about it. But she prays for it. She prays. She thanks God for the gift that we've already received, the gift of love, this invitation to the wedding feast, invitation to spend eternity with God. We already have divine life started in us by grace. This will grow if we correspond. If we are grateful, we thank God for all of the means that we have to grow in charity every day. We have this beautiful church. We have Mass, the Holy Eucharist, the sacraments, prayer. All of these means which we can use infallibly to grow in charity every day. And that's fulfill that commandment. God wants to give us so much. The more we thank Him, the more we dilate our hearts and we make ourselves capable of receiving so much more. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.